You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Graham Rowe, a 61-year-old man, has been convicted three times of non-consensually taking photographs of young women and girls. On one of the occasions, he was issued a trespass notice by police. A few weeks ago, his conviction for taking photos of two underage girls wearing bikinis at a beach were quashed. Or rather, just the one conviction was quashed. And his lawyer said that if they didn't want to be snapped, they shouldn't have worn bikinis. I spoke to Jill Greer, the president of the National Women's Council, about the problematic precedent that this sets and the wider right to respect within society. As we know, sexual harassment and assault is often perpetrated by repeat offenders. So do you think it's a failure of our justice system not to reprimand him for this?
To be honest, it's really interesting to think about that kind of pattern in order to basically break that continuum that goes from harassment, you know, at the early stages, and I guess often what's described as bantering, then we need to make sure that things are named, you know, exactly and appropriate action is taken. And I think it does seem surprising to me, but from a legal point of view, I find it really difficult, but I think we absolutely need to show that these things are just not to be tolerated and enough is enough. And I think we're seeing more proof of it than we've seen, you know, for many years, because people are speaking up.
The court ruled that they could not establish intent to insult or indecency under Section 126 of the Crimes Act. But non-consensually taking photographs of underage girls seems indecent in that you know, he's obtaining material without their permission. And I mean, what does he want it for? If you ask yourself that, you know that it's compromising the young girls, you know. So do you think...
Yes, and it seems to me there's a world of difference, as somebody pointed out, between them taking a landscape photo of a beach with a whole lot of people on it, doing all sorts of things, some of them lying, reading books, some of them swimming and so on. That's a very different thing from taking very specific photographs in a way that clearly aroused some concern. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a case in the first place.
Mm.
And whatever happened with them, if they were stored, for example, what for? It seems to me that we do need to learn from some of the laws in other countries. And I mean, the law isn't the only way, is it? I mean, I think all of this needs to be part of a
cultural shift.
The country and an intersectoral and a social culture shift, exactly, which is about, you know, everybody is entitled to be treated with respect and with dignity, to have the same opportunities without discrimination.
Mm.
That means that people have to be allowed to lead their lives and be themselves in ways that don't upset others and not be pestered or bothered. And so we start at that first level of that continuum, which I know people don't like the term rape culture, but it too often harassment is seen as something that's kind of excusable, let's just forget it, as opposed to being one of the first steps in that continuum, which if it continues can, of course, build up to sort of really serious assault and crime and sometimes, you know, far worse in terms of death, for example.
Yeah.
So I think it has to start with communities and what's happening in their community and how they can best address it. I was asked the other day, you know, is it just a matter of the police, for example, criminalising, you know, hate speech, sexual harassment, conversations, comments and so on. But there's no one single answer. It has to start in our communities. It has to start in our homes and how we bring up our children. Those stereotypes and gender attitudes and norms. And then the media, I mean, what you're doing here is critically important.
Yeah.
There's so little media in this country now, less than there used to be if we look at the data on the Global Monitor, that focuses on women and girls. And even less that focuses on women and girls in a positive way. It's around 8% of the media which has a focus on women. Well, right now in this country, yes, girls might see that you can be a prime minister, and they might see that you could be a minister for women, but they're not going to see much else, occasionally in sport, but only occasionally, that gives them a real portrayal of what they could be and become. And they will see much that is negative very often.
Yeah.
So I think we really need to have a cross-sectoral approach. We need to have a commitment that comes through from government policy and law, which is around well-being and respect, and maybe the living standards framework that the government is talking about will help to achieve that. And then we need commitment in schools with respect, consent education, sexuality and relationship education. It's, I think, hugely complex. And I, as I say, there's apparently a model in the UK that they're using. I think it's in Nottingham, where the police are actually taking a much stronger stand around misogynistic remarks and so on, and seeing these as hate speech. And I think the UK and the EU are stronger around that. I don't see a single approach as being part of it. What I see is, as I say, communities saying, what can we do in our community?
As you've touched on it, all of these small steps are incremental changes. So, you know, if the law as it stands now makes it impossible to establish intent to insult or indecency when this happens, should there be legislative reform for this kind of thing in particular?
I think it's about alignment, isn't it? It's about us being conscious of our own, often unconscious bias, which is often what contributes to this. So, and I know, you know, we're all taught when we employ people, you know, understand you will employ someone who is as like you as it's possible probably to be, in a way, rather than somebody who's completely different. So we all have that unconscious bias. We all need to be aware of it.
Yeah.
We need to be aware of it in our homes. Our schools need to be putting in place good programs, as I say, that are around gender stereotype. Our workplaces need policies, and they need to be led by people who are committed. I read one survey recently of 500 New Zealand businesses, of which 49% believed the main reason for having so few women in their senior leadership was lack of talent. So where did that come from? We can all change these things, and then we need the systemic and structural change that comes from law, that comes from policy, and then we just need to show that we have zero tolerance. We shouldn't be the worst country in the OECD for sexual violence. Where did we go so wrong?
I mean, the scariest part of the Graham Rowe case is, of course, how his lawyer said that if they didn't want their photo taken, they shouldn't have worn bikinis. So this is legal precedent now, because that's in cases of this nature that will be referred to. So does that worry you? I know that we touched on the normalisation aspect of rape culture, but it's kind of more than that, isn't it?
I think there was some work done with the judiciary some years ago around how they look at cases like this. And similarly, there was work done across the Pacific, internationally as well. And I think more work is being done again now in terms of how does the law and how do the judiciary look at these issues? And it will be interesting to see if this evolves differently. But you're right, there will be precedent now. And, you know, women, I can remember, there's got to be some advantages getting a bit older, I guess, but, you know, I can remember as a young woman, you know, being involved in reclaiming the night and, you know, sort of marches, which were about it needs to be safe for women to be able to walk down the street at night. And we have spent years saying, just as a man can pull off his shirt, you know, standing by the car by the roadside, and nobody thinks anything of it, but if a woman should wear something that is revealing, like a bikini on the beach, all of a sudden it's her fault if somebody pays her undue attention. We've got to get these things straight in our minds, that if we are truly gender equal, we have mutual respect and we allow each other mutual dignity. It doesn't mean to say we still can't be attracted to each other, can't enjoy each other's company. And it goes back in the end, I mean, it sounds old-fashioned, I guess, but it goes back in the end to the Declaration of Human Rights. You know, there are no non-people, and everybody, all people, are supposed to be equal.
When something terrible happens, you should never blame them for what's happened to them.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And we have to be able to say, no, this was not the fault of this person. They did nothing. It is the fault of someone else for what they did, and then go from there. But it's not simple. It is complex. And we need to change. And we can only do that if we change individually, step by step, if we're supported by the media, by public institutions, and if we collectively say enough's enough.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.